CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, we get together every weekday afternoon at this time just to answer questions about the Bible, just to get together with other Christians. And, sometimes people have just got a lot of questions about their Christian faith or thinking about being a Christian. Hey, we like to get together and just answer questions, fellowship with each other. It's always a great time. This is live radio, and so we just want you to know we appreciate every one of you that tune in and listen and pray for us and support us. Hey, thank you, and we always look forward to this. It's something that, again, I think is the highlight of my day, and I pray it's one of the highlights of yours. So again, if you got a question you'd like to ask us, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. Joining me today, special guest, Joe Jackson from Sure Foundation Church in Kiau, Hawaii, just south of Hilo, about 12 miles, and he's not underwater, and that's good news. Hi, and welcome, Joe.
Hey, Pastor Mike, great to be on the show with you, and you're right. We're not underwater. We survived. We had a tsunami watch last night. But we're okay, and we're still here. And it's always great to be on the show with you and just tackle some questions about the Bible and about God's Word. And so for those of you listening, it's great to be here with you, and I'm looking forward to today's show.
Amen. And Amen. Joe, I always appreciate you. Yeah, those that are familiar with Hilo, Banya Drive kind of got wonked a little bit, but nothing bad. It could have been so much worse. I remember reading about the tsunami that happened, I believe it was 1959 or right around there, where there was a 9-point-something earthquake in Chile. And it went and sent a 35-foot wall of water towards Hilo, and a bunch of kids got killed. It was really devastating. The water went way, way inland and flooded the buildings and took out the buildings that were on the other side of the highway. So a lot of people wouldn't even recognize Hilo then as compared to today, because so many buildings were taken out in that tremendous tsunami. So they are real. But everybody's safe, and Jeffress was on Maui as well, and he's doing good. He's all right. And so anyway, exciting times we're living in. And again, if you want to be part of the program, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We're going to go to Nick in Meridian, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hey, how are you all doing? Just calling. I was talking to a family member trying to share my faith, and they were saying Christianity was evil because of the crusade. And I've been hearing that for years and years. I just never knew how to answer that.
Well, the Muslims had taken over that area of the world. And so a group of Christians got together and went to liberate Jerusalem from the Muslims. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, and so, you know, there's things that people have done throughout history in the name of Christianity, but it's not Christ-like at all. And so even with the Crusades and you know, people being killed and slaughtered, this was actually a political and military campaign. They used Christianity to paint it as if what they were doing was good. But we know that this wasn't Jesus's heart.
No.
And so I just always tell people when they want to bring up stuff in the past that have been done in the name of Christianity to look at what Jesus taught. And does it line up with what Jesus taught? Jesus said, by their fruits, you will recognize them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And so you don't see those things in the crusade. Jesus didn't teach violence, but Jesus taught love, peace, and kindness. And there'll be people that often misuse his name to justify what they're doing. But when you look at the life of Jesus and the heart of Jesus, Jesus even said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And we know that this is not a true Christian. In fact, in life, I believe there's people, I call them Christian atheists. Christian atheists. They claim to know Jesus, but then they live as if he doesn't exist. And that's simply what we had with the Crusades. They painted the name of Christianity on what they were doing, but what they were doing wasn't showing the heart and love of Jesus Christ. Pastor Mike?
Well, and Jesus said, and they'll say in that day, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal? Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. And when you stop to think, Nick, about even Jesus had Judas Iscariot, all claiming to be loyal to Christ, and yet we find the betrayal of Jesus by Judas of Jesus' whereabouts later on that evening when he went out to the Mount of Olives to pray, as he always did. And so, you know, I look at this kind of important because, you know, Jesus had Judas Iscariot, ratio 1 in 12. He was God. Where does that leave me, you, Nick, and anybody else when people say that they believe and they have really nothing to do with Christ? Remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. They were vagabond Jews going around exorcising demons out of people, and they came across evidently somebody that really was demonic possessed. And they said, the Jesus whom Paul speaks of, we adjure you. And the spirits remarked, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And they leaped on the guys and beat them up. And the last we find in scripture, they're running. So there's a lot of people that lay claim to Christ. Look at all the cults that are out here in the world right now. Not the Jesus of the Bible, but they use the name Jesus because it's familiar. And as I share with everybody, just because people use the same words doesn't mean they have the same definition, like Jesus, heaven, hell, salvation, all these things. See, in the cults, they get you to earn your salvation. They get you out knocking on doors and selling flowers in airports. You name it, they're making you do it. Where Jesus said, whosoever will may come, and you change your destiny from heaven to hell the minute you pray and ask Christ to come into your heart and repent from your sins. So that's the good news of the gospel, Nick, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, thanks.
Stay on the line if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy them. Again, 8888 Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Eric in Southern California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Mike. Today is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Hey.
So.
in Exodus chapter 34, God told Moses to cut two tablets. What was written on the tablets?
Well, we know that was written on the tablets was the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses for the children of Israel. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, so we know that the first set of tablets Moses broke because he comes down from the mountain and
he
sees Israel. Yeah, they're partying. They got a golden calf, and him in his frustration breaks them on the ground. So he goes back up, and then God himself rewrites his covenant on them. And in verse 28 of Exodus 34, it says, and he, God, wrote the tablets, the word of the covenant, which, as Pastor Mike mentioned, is the Ten Commandments that he writes there.
Yeah, so your answer is in verse 28 there on that one, Eric.
I guess I must have missed it, but that helps. And my other question is, for Assembly Bill, that's AB 930, it allows illegal immigrants to count the vote up to 7 days, serve on committee boards and election boards. Could this bad bill be used to be open up for potential voter fraud and cheating?
Well, they've been cheating for a long, long time. We have on record here people who've called into this radio station remarking that they have gotten 9 ballots in their mailbox when there's only 3 people in the home. One fella called up and said, I got a ballot at my house And then my father got a ballot for me at his house where I used to live. So we know that voter fraud is rampant, epidemic in California. Very, very bad. In fact, another a caller called up and said, I went to vote in Palm Springs. I decided not to vote by mail, but to just go down and vote regularly. I went down to vote and I gave them my mail-in ballot. They did not tear it up. They set it off to the side as if they were going to use it later. And she said, I just don't understand this kind of behavior. And we find, again, when you're getting three times the number of ballots that you should be in your mailbox, no voter ID required, just shows the blatant voter fraud, especially in the state of California. It is really bad. And we know it. Everybody knows it. They don't want to fix it because evidently this is where one particular party's primary voter base is in illegal votes. So what can you say? I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. Facts are facts. But no, Eric, I think any time that people need to be lawful. I'm all for immigration. Don't anybody ever misunderstand me. I'm for legal immigration. And, you know, when people break into a country, they shove everybody else out of line around the world that would like to move to America that's trying to do it legally. And so really, they break the law. They're bullies. They don't care who they push out of line in some other country. I have very little respect for that. If you don't respect the laws of the country you're immigrating to, from the very first day, why would you want to respect anything else? So I don't know. I have real trouble when I see this because my relatives are all immigrants, but they did it legally, and that's all. That's all I think any of us wants. I know the current administration. That's all they want. But to just break into a country and say, okay, we're here. Hey, listen, pull that one in Mexico, see how long you last. Pull that one in Japan, see how long that lasts. Go anywhere in the world and break into a country and just set up camp. You get deported immediately. And for some reason, because, we somehow want some kind of law and order in our country, have some kind of ability to assimilate the people that come in. In other words, we have enough housing and food and water for everybody without taking it away from people who earned it, like, tapping into Social Security to give it to people that broke into your country. Where's the justice in this, Newsom? Come on. Right. So these are the problems that we have to look at. And I'm for immigration 100%. But I want to do it legally, and I want to do it fairly for other countries that want to immigrate to the United States and knock off the bullying where you just push everybody else out of the way because you want what you want when you want it. And that's what it is. So I don't know. I think that this is one of the things, Eric, we have to think about. And again, what country in the world can handle 20 million influx of 20 million illegal people into your country? They all need a place to live. They all need food. They all need, how much infrastructure do you need to absorb that without it ruining your economy? Or wait, were they trying to ruin our economy? I don't know. See, these are the things I don't understand. Were the people in power that were allowing this deliberately trying to collapse the economy of the United States? I don't know. But all I can say is I do know breaking the law is wrong, and I do know they shoved everybody else out of their way to do it. So I just think we need to do things right and honestly, Eric. And, the Bible says to obey the laws of the land. I get really tired, and it's really a gross misinterpretation of God's word to say, well, we're supposed to be for the immigrant. We're supposed to be. That's the Christian way. No, the Bible says, let's get what the Bible says. Obey the laws of the land. And if you don't, then you don't belong here till you do. That's what the Bible says. I'm all for loving people. I'm all for helping people. But we got to follow the laws of the land, because the laws of the land protect others in our country. Look at all the criminals that were let in by the last administration. All these girls that were murdered. I remember the girl, breaks my heart, I remember in San Francisco. She was gunned down on a pier with her father as they were out for an evening walk. An illegal alien shot her and killed her. Why was he even in here? We don't know. And we find out then he'd been deported several times. But it's the catch and release. See, it's mayhem. It's anarchy. And out of the anarchy, these are the people that are now voting for your representatives. It's scary, scary stuff. And I think we need to be very, very aware of the times we're in. Again, the Bible says to obey the laws of the land. They're there to protect all of us. And I'm thankful that they're there. So, Eric, I hope that answers it for you. Stay in line. Send you out some books and DVDs, okay?
I'm ready for them.
All righty, Eric. If you need any more, let me know. Great to share with your friends. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. We're going to go to Christopher, Gillette, Wyoming. Hi, welcome.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
How can we help, Christopher?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, you got two upper-class guys that come to Jesus, Nicodemus and the rich young ruler.
Yes.
But they receive different answers, or do they? What's your perspective on that?
Well, the rich young ruler wanted to know what he'd have to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, you know the law. And he said, the rich young ruler said, all these I've done since I was young. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. Sell what you have, give the money to the poor, come and follow me. What an invitation to be an apostle of Jesus. That's what he was offering him. Wow. You know, we don't even know who this rich young ruler was. He just disappeared with his money into antiquities. But you know, those that chose Jesus, Matthew, Mark, you know, we see, or maybe I should say, well, anybody, including Paul, anybody that dedicates their life to serving God, your name is written in the book of life. You're a somebody. If you're not, you're nobody. How does a rich person die? Just like a poor one. Now, concerning Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night. And he said the same thing. Now, Jesus knows the heart. He knows what is needed in a person's soul. This rich young ruler, he had it all together. At least he thought. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. Now, you'll find rulers, but usually they're old. You'll find rich people, but usually they're old. But this guy was rich, young, and a ruler. Man, he had it all. But he said, one thing you lack. Boy, I'll tell you, if Jesus was to look at me and say, Mike, you're doing good, there's just one thing you lack, I'd be dancing in the street. Oh, look, I only got one more thing I got to do. I mean, I'd be pretty happy about that. But he said, one thing you lack. Now, when it came to Nicodemus, it is interesting he came to him by night. Why? I don't know. Did he get off at 5 o'clock and it was already dark? Or was he too embarrassed to come in the daytime? Maybe people would see him going and consulting Jesus. I don't know. But whatever it was, Jesus told him that he must be born again. Now, Nicodemus understood those terms very, very well, because because one was a rich young ruler, the other one was a rabbi. To convert to Judaism, you would renounce your pagan deity, you would take you would embrace Yahweh as your God, and then you'd take a ceremonial washing. He was very familiar with the things that Jesus, but Jesus said, you need to be born again. And he said, what do I got to get back in my mom? What's going on? He goes, no, unless a man is born of the water and of the spirit, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. When the water breaks, out comes a baby. That's your natural birth. You're going to get a supernatural birth just as dynamic when you ask Christ into your life. See, that's what he needed. Religion doesn't do it. Nicodemus was a very religious person, but there was something much more deeply wrong in his heart. And that's why Jesus addressed him the way he addressed him over the person that was a rich young ruler, even though this rich young ruler was a person that followed Judaism, all these things I've done since I was young. It doesn't say that he was a leader in the Sanhedrin in any way. Your thoughts?
Yeah. So Jesus spoke, of course, to both Nicodemus, who came to him at night. I like to call him Nick at night. And also the rich young ruler, who were two wealthy, influential men. And in both cases, he's essentially saying to them that eternal life isn't about status. It's not about wealth. It's not about religion, but it's about new birth and a total surrender to God. They both had to let go of what they were clinging to and trust fully in him. And so in some sense, his answer to them is similar. Jesus, of course, knowing both of their minds, knowing both of their hearts, knew what was the thing that they were holding on to. And so Jesus is saying that you cannot save yourself through wealth, which was a popular belief in that time. In fact, even Jesus says to his disciples that it's more easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. And the disciples' response was, well, then who can be saved? Because in their mind, if you're rich, you had more opportunities, you could afford more things. And they're looking at it like, if even the rich can't be saved, who can be saved? And Jesus responds that what's impossible for man is possible with man or with God. And so in both cases, I believe that Jesus is really hitting the issue of surrendering, whether it's status, whether it's wealth, whether it's whatever we're clinging on into this life, we have to surrender those things and instead accept Christ. And so I hope that helps you out, Christopher.
Yes.
Yeah, and even to this day, you'll see very religious people say in a condescending manner, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those born again.
Jesus said, you must be born again. So you can call yourself whatever you want, but being born again is not an option. It's a requirement. Jesus said that in John 3. So these people that say the thing, well, I'm not a born again. Oh, you just told me you're not a real Christian. You're something else. So really important. I think, Christopher, we live in a world today that endeavors to redefine Christianity my way. And my way means anybody's way other than the Bible's way. And so when I run into people like that, I always go back to the main thing. Who's Jesus? Well, he was a great teacher. Oh, really? Have you ever looked and seen what Jesus taught? Oh, yeah, yeah, that love thing grooving together. Oh, yeah, you know, we're all loving on each other thing. No. Have you ever really read what Jesus said? Well, what do you mean? Well, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So in that verse, John 14:6, Jesus categorically said, all the religions of the world are bogus. Whoa, now we got a problem. Yeah. Because is Jesus a good teacher or is he a lunatic? Because if he's a good teacher, he said all the other religions of the world are phony. So then he can't be a good teacher unless he's the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
And on the other hand, if he's not a good teacher, then what is your answer for life then? So you really begin to really get to where these people are at. But again, this idea that, well, the Jesus that I have is different than the Jesus you have. No, that it doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says Jesus is. And we get back to the anvil, which many hammers have been worn out on. You can always go back and point people back to Christ because that's what's important. Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah, and I just totally agree with that too, is the idea that we have to align our life with God's word and not go based on what we feel. And even as you're saying, you know, some people think that Jesus is a good teacher or even that he was just a prophet. But it's like when you really look at what Jesus teaches, all of a sudden comes this idea that I have to align my life with his teaching if I believe he's a good teacher. And Jesus even taught that he's not just a good teacher or a good man, but that he actually is God in the flesh. He says, before Abraham was, I am, making a statement about deity. And you know, one thing that really helps me want to listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ is if anyone claims that they'll die and then come alive 3 days later, I'm going to listen real closely to what they say if they actually fulfill that claim. And we know that Jesus did that, which proves that he's so much more than just a good teacher, but he is the resurrection and the life. And I always like to say that resurrection is not just an event that happened, but resurrection is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And when we experience the person of Jesus Christ in our lives, we also experience that same resurrection power, which is exactly what he was trying to share with this rich young ruler and also with this teacher that came to him at night, Nicodemus. Pastor Mike?
Amen. Amen. So it's a wonderful, wonderful outline. And you know something else I think is so wonderful about both these stories? Jesus never turned him away. He answered the questions for him. And that's why, you know, I like this program so much and why we like to be with all of you to give you good, solid foundation for what you believe so that you're not shaken. You know, people come to your door. You can say, well, hey, I'm a Christian. I accepted Christ. They don't stop. They try to talk you into joining their club. And I think it's really interesting. But again, we have to go back to what the Bible says. Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And how important then is that we know what God's word says. So again, I would just encourage you, Christopher, and if you'll stay in line, send you out some books and DVDs, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Well, Christopher, God bless you. Listen, get any more questions, we're here for you. And if you need any more of the things I'm sending you, please let us know. I can send you some more of those as well. We are coming up on a break. We don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more coming up right after this. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who do not have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry. And it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is...
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Terry Mann Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Joe Jackson. He's the pastor of Sure Foundation Church just south of Hilo, Hawaii, in a little town called Keao, Hawaii. Just take Highway 130 as you're headed towards Pahoa, and you'll see it on the right-hand side between Kaholi and Paradise Drive on the right-hand side with the white picket fence. I like the white picket fence. That's a good thing. Joe, it's always a blessing to have you. What are you teaching on this Sunday?
So this Sunday, I'm starting a brand new message series titled Back to School. And we're really going back to the basics. You know, I love something that Pastor Greg Laurie once said. He said, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. Then even the Apostle Paul says, whenever I come and speak to you, all I would ever preach is Christ and Him crucified. And so we're going to look at really discipleship in Christianity, God's word, prayer, serving others, living a life as a disciple of Christ. And so if you're in the area, we have service on Sundays at 8 and 10. We would love to have you come out as we dive into God's word this week.
Amen. And always a blessing to be with you, Joe, and look forward to being back with you there in Hawaii come fall. And so it's always a great time. Let's go back to the phones, 8888. Ask CSN the number to call if you want to be part of the program. We have Anthony on the line in Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, pastors. How are we doing today?
Good. How may we help?
Good.
Thank you guys for taking my call and allowing me the opportunity to ask a question. So my question is this. At the moment a person is saved, are they a disciple or a believer? Are these terms different or are they the same?
Well, absolutely, they're a believer, because you wouldn't accept Christ in your life if you didn't believe. Now, as far as being a disciple, that's, I believe, what God does the minute we become saved. We begin to learn His ways. Come away and learn of me. And I believe this is one of the things we do. And it sounds like, Joe, this is what you're teaching on this Sunday. Your thoughts?
Yeah. And so, you know, discipleship, being a disciple of Christ, is actually a lifelong journey. And so the moment someone puts faith in Jesus Christ, at that moment, they are a believer as well as a disciple. And what discipleship is now the Holy Spirit shaping us and molding us to become more like Christ. A technical church word you can use for this is the word sanctification, that God saves us and we have heaven as our home, but now there's a process where He makes us more like Jesus Christ. And as I said, this is a lifelong journey. In fact, it's interesting, the Apostle Paul in some of his different letters talks about being saved. And in one letter he says, for those of you who have been saved. Another letter he says, for those of you who are being saved. And then another letter he says, for those of you that will be saved. And so it's like, have we been saved? Are we being saved? Or will we be saved? And the answer is yes. We are saved the moment we put our faith in Christ. And now as we live this life out, He changes us and shapes us. And then the final moment of perfection is when we go to glory. Paul says in Philippians that he who began a good work in me will finish it on the day of completion, which is with Christ Jesus. And so discipleship happens the moment we get saved, but it's a lifelong process. Pastor Mike?
Amen. And so, you know, really, when we accept Christ as our Savior, not only does He write our name in His book of life, but we give God permission to train us and teach us. He moves inside of us and changes us from the inside out. And that's great news, Anthony. I hope that answers it for you.
Yes, it does. I certainly appreciate you guys answering my question. If I can add one more thing before
sure,
I get
ahead.
Off the phone.
Sure, go ahead.
This is to the audience that's listening out there. I would just like to encourage everyone who's listening, whether it's the first time, whether you've been listening for a lifetime, of how this station has helped so many people, including myself, including those of you who are listening. Even if you can only maybe contribute $2, $3, 50 cents, we don't realize the importance of this station as far as believers are concerned, because the Bible reminds us that one day there's going to be a famine in the land for hearing the word of God. And this station has given us a privilege to be able to learn, to grow with one another, to share. So I just want to encourage the listeners. All I can just say, emphasize is one word. Please, please, please consider helping CSN. So thank you.
Anthony, thank you very much. I don't know you. I've never met you. But I hear in your voice the passion of how the radio has touched your life and the internet. And I just want to say thank you for those kind words. You know, it costs a lot of money to do what we do. But, you know, together we're doing something we can never do individually. And I think that's kind of cool. You know, people will say, well, what can we all do together as a gang? Well, we're doing it, you know? And yeah. I think it's really neat. And we're not traded on the New York Stock Exchange like so many other Christian networks are. So many, it isn't play to pay. You know, you just give us money and we'll put on whatever kooky doctrine you want to say. I don't let that happen here. I realize that, you know, we have... people that teach the Bible. And I got to tell you, friends, sometimes when you hear the Bible, even myself, it's not comfortable. Oh, it requires me to repent sometimes. You know, you can cop an attitude or you can get mad or you can start thinking you have a right to hold a grudge or whatever it might be. And I listen to God's word and all of a sudden, man, it settles your heart back down. You go, hey, help me, God, as you said earlier, Joe, keep the main thing the main thing. Because, man, all of a sudden we can start believing in all kinds of stuff in our heads that aren't true at all. And I just really say thank you to everyone before we go on the air, we pray that the Lord will give us a good program. And one of the things I always pray is that, Lord, thank you for those that make this possible. Not only those that are the engineers and those that swing on the towers to make sure the antennas all work right, but to all those that help pay the power bills and the rent on the towers, all these things, right. I just want to say thank you. And I know great is your reward in heaven. God loves you. And, you know, Anthony, thank you so much for those kind words. Stay in the line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Got any other questions real quick?
No, you answered them, so thank you.
Anthony, God bless you, and thank you for listening. And what island are you on?
The island of Maui.
Oh, you're on Maui. Okay, yeah. The north end of the big island is covered by Maui's translator up there, the station there. And then there's a brand, if you're on the west side of Maui, we're on a new frequency there, and I believe it comes from Molokai. So anyway, we're all over the dial, but we just want to tell people, hey, you don't have to keep living the way you're living. There's a whole new life awaiting you. Anthony, thanks so much. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of with some books and DVDs. And again, God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Kyler in Iowa. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. First time calling, and I'm kind of excited for the question I have for you today.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the question?
So, looking at the debate between Arminianism and Calvinism, you know, I've grew up to be more of the former, but there are some things too that you'd like maybe consider. I also like, you know, sci-fi and fantasy and things like that, and you can get into like a multiverse aspect. If God, I believe that God is infinite and all powerful. Is it possible that he can see the possibility of all of our actions, whether that be a possibility where we are in more of a Calvinist or Arminianist side, and that there's different possibilities of how the universe could work, and that all those possibilities are equally possible until they actually happen, so God can fulfill both sides of the coin until, you know, the resurrection and everything lays out as according to plan. But is it possible that those things actually work in correspondence?
You know, I often wonder in heaven if, you know, the Bible says he's going to show us his greatness forever. I often wonder on Main Street in heaven if there isn't movie theaters called What If? And you walk in there and you sit down. And what if this would have happened? Maybe what if this would have happened concerning the world? What if Adolf Hitler would have won? What if Nero would have killed all the Christians? I mean, what if? But there might be a what if for us personally, too. What if God didn't stop us from the reckless lifestyle that we had? What if God would have given us oftentimes what we asked for, not fully realizing the full damage that it could do to us? I think a lot of times that where we pray and we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is so important, because I don't have to live my life then in the what ifs. I can live my life knowing that I did what God wanted me to do. And I really believe that, again, since God lives in all times present, this is based upon Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 22, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last, lives in all times present. God does not learn. Just because God knows the decisions that you and me will make does not stop us from making those decisions. And I think this is really important, because from God's perspective, we're predestined. From our perspective, we're learning. We're on this road of life. That's why the Great Commission is go preach the gospel to every creature, not to the predestinated ones or you know, anything like that. We don't know. So God has told us to, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say for God so loved the predestinated ones, as Calvinism teaches. So there's problems. You know, I really believe the truth of which maybe the answer of your question between Arminian and Calvinism is really a kind of a mixture of both in a balanced way, with a better understanding, because God doesn't learn. And some of these kind of ideas imply, maybe don't state, but imply that God is learning. Well, God's not learning. He already knows, but we don't. And so when we find the words in the Bible, predestined, or to those to whom he foreknew, this is all from God's living in all times present. But I don't have that, and I don't have that towards other people. So I have to look at every person as a potential candidate for heaven. All I can do is sow the seed and share the gospel, and then it's up to God to bring the harvest, because the Bible says God has given to every man a measure of faith. What have we done with that measure? Your thoughts, Joe?
Yes. So both viewpoints share some similarities. We both believe it's faith in Jesus that saves us. Both believe that God's word is the standard that we build our life on. But when it comes to how salvation works, that's where you get the two difference, especially with God's sovereignty and then also free will and how they fit together. But, you know, for example, in Calvinism, you have what they call the tulip, and that T there is total depravity. Well, both sides believe that humans are completely unable to choose God without his grace, that inside of us, there's nothing good that can save us, and this is why we need the grace of God. But with that comes different beliefs on who God saves and how God saves. You know, even as Pastor Mike is speaking there of foreknowledge, that God knows everything, but that doesn't mean he forces us to choose based on that knowledge. It, you know, a silly example I like here is my teenage daughter. I know that she hates Brussels sprouts, and I know that she loves Rocky Road ice cream. I know that. So if I go home and I prepare a bowl of Rocky Road ice cream, I go, Taylor, what would you rather have, Brussels sprouts or a bowl of ice cream? I know what she's going to pick. I've already made the bowl of ice cream, but still I didn't force her to make that choice. And I believe it's the same with the Lord. He knows the choice we'll make, but he doesn't force us to make that choice. You know, it says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God desires all people to be saved. And so just kind of an issue I have with Calvinism is the idea that the blood of Jesus is limited in who it can save. This is the L, which stands for limited atonement, that the blood of Christ can only forgive so many people. And because he's limited in power, then he has to choose who he will save and who he won't. And so that's my issue there with Calvinism, is it's actually degrading the power and sovereignty of God. We know that his blood wasn't limited, but for God so loved the world, that's everyone, he gave his only son. And whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, whosoever will may come, the Bible says. You go to the very last couple of verses in Revelation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. It's an open invitation to everyone. And I think that's so important. Kyler, I hope that sheds a little bit of light on that for you.
Yeah, and it does. And, you know, it's just so hard to wrap your head around. I mean, our level of comprehension will never be there. And I, right. You know, my follow-up question would be, you know, if I'm looking at this and I'm looking at God's infinite nature and all the choices that are laid before us, is it wrong for me? Would it be ever sinful of me to think that there is possibility of like multiverse until that thing happens? And then, you know, God already knows all these possibilities, but until it actually happens, then that's the path. Is that, you know, wrong of me, of an idea to have?
Well, I think that we all think that sometimes. And I really believe sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Because the Spirit of what is prophecy. The heart of the Spirit is prophecy. Now, that isn't just speaking about what's going to happen in the Middle East and in the Antichrist and 666. No, prophecy is part of our life. Imagine, and this is maybe is what you're saying, Kyler. Imagine if you would know, or any of us would see the result of our behavior 3 years from now or 2 years from now, influencing the decisions I make today. Oh man, haven't you ever said, boy, if I knew that was going to come out like that, I'd never have done that. Well, I believe the Holy Spirit endeavors to let us see into the future what my life will be like if I do those things. See, that's the problem with drunkenness. Don't you realize, oh yeah, I'm partying down, man. Yeah, but do you see yourself in 2 hours when you hit the tree with your car? Well, I'd never done that, man, if I'd known that's how that was going to come out. Yeah, exactly. You're seeing into the future. So I can make a lot of decisions in my life based upon the foreknowledge of God in my life. The Spirit of God is prophecy in our lives to reveal to us or open our eyes to what we see in the future. I mean, after all, what do you think the ability to interpret dreams were concerning Joseph and Pharaoh or anybody else in the Bible that we see? Those were all predicting events that weren't yet here. Well, again, imagine if we could trust God to the point, if Daddy says no, you know, so many Christians are like this. You know, God closes the door and then we rewrite the Bible. Behold, I stand at the door and pick the lock. You see, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this door no matter what. God says, don't go there. The door's closed for a reason. Listen, ask, seek, and knock, and it will be opened unto you. I don't have to stand at a door and batter-ram it down. I don't have to stand at the door and pick the lock. I don't have to stand at the door and jimmy the hinges.
Right.
When I knock, it'll open if it's God's will. And see, I think that this is maybe, Kyler, a little bit what you're saying. So we're reliant of a truth in Christ to open and close doors in my life to direct my life where he wants it to be, but also equipping us with the ability to see into the future that, hey, I don't want to go down that path. And by the way, that's what pastors do as well. You don't want to go down that path. That's going to kill you.
Right.
That's what real love does. Mom and dad, you know, no, don't go 75 in a 25 in front of a school. That will kill you or it'll get you in jail. See, we can see in the future because we know if you do those things, there's going to be consequences. But the fool, as we see in the book of Proverbs, puts the pedal to the metal and pays the consequence. So yeah. I do believe, Kyler, what you're saying, there's a truth to that because I do believe God said, Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah. Kyler, I just like your thinking.
Yeah.
I like the idea that there's things about the Lord that are a mystery to me. In fact, that doesn't bother me, but I like that. Because if God was a God that my small brain could understand totally, there's no power in that. But the idea of God is here we are, humanity trying to understand deity. Here we are, imperfect humans with our finite minds, trying to understand an infinite and sovereign God. And so there are things that are a mystery to us about the Lord. And those are actually encouraging to me to know that, as Paul said, we look through a glass dimly. And so we're trying to understand this God that's far greater than our ability to think or process. And God reveals himself through the word and through circumstances in our lives. But still, man, there's so much more for us to learn and understand about God. And I really believe in heaven that all eternity will be doing that, learning more things that are fascinating about how great our good and faithful God is. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, and we find in Isaiah 55:8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." So in order to get God's ways in my life, I believe this is where prayer and supplication come from. This is why we pray as Christians. Because there's 1,000 different paths all of us can go down every day. So, but there's only one path that's going to bring the maximum in our life. And that's what really is really good. That's where the Bible says, God says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's implying you pick the right roads every time. Good. Yeah. Well, my problem is I don't always pick the right roads. But I know God is bigger than the things I've done wrong. And I know he can fix that, but that doesn't make an excuse for me to pick those wrong roads anyway. See, some people say, well, you know, the Bible says where love abounds or sin abounds, that much more grace abounds. Well, that's true, but how much better would it have been to not sin in the first place and really excel in the direction God wants you to go in? Because sin never does us good. That's something we have to come to a conclusion of. Sin never benefits me. It always hurts me, always. And we may not feel the pain immediately, but again, if we could see in the future and see the pain of what I'm doing, then I would change the way I make my decisions now. And so I hope that helps, Skylar.
It absolutely does. Thank you so much, gentlemen. God bless.
Blessings to you. Great, great. Just those philosophical questions that come out.
Yeah.
They're so good. Kyler, stay in line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And I want to send you a book. I don't have very many, but I'm going to send you one called How Can We Know? And this book was based off of Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. Now, if you've ever seen that book, it looks like the old LA County phone book. I mean, it was a big book. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of evidence to believe in God. But this is a condensed version, almost like a paperback. It was written by Danny Lehman, who is the one that directed Teen Challenge. No, excuse me. Youth with a Mission in Kona, Hawaii. And I know Danny, and he gave me some of these to give away. And I want to send one to you because of your question. I think you'll really enjoy it. How Can We Know? Because it addresses a lot of the ideas like this. I think you'll get a kick out of it. Stay in line, Kyler. I want to get that to you. Well, there's a couple other things. And let's go to Sam in Hesperia, California. Hi, welcome. Hi, how may we help?
How's it going?
How may we help?
I have a quick question. Okay. So, and when a believer passes away, they go there. It says that when you're absent with the body, to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
And we all go to judgment, obviously, before going into heaven. So my question is, when a believer goes to home to be with the Lord, is that in heaven already?
No, when we go to be with the Lord, there will be the Bema Seat judgment. That is not yet. You get to heaven, you're there. The great Bema Seat judgment during the tribulation period here on this earth, we're having a great marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, and we're having a great time, and God rewards us all for the things that we did for the right motive. The wood, the hay, the stubble burns up, but the precious things done with the right heart remain. Joe, your last thoughts.
Yeah, Hebrews says that it's appointed once for man to die. After that comes judgment. But then, of course, there's the final judgment day where all of our deeds will be judged. And this happens standing before the throne. We see this in Revelations. Pastor Mike?
Yeah. So again, if you're a Christian, you stand in the Bema Seat judgment. If you're not a Christian, then you will stand in the Great White Throne judgment, as well as those believers during the millennial reign. And so, Sam, yeah, and we'll be rewarded. Everybody living today is determining your position in eternity forever. So live it for God. Have a great night. Thanks, Joe. God bless you all. Good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.